Let's talk about this latest album. It is absolutely terrific. Talking Ugly Truth, Telling Pretty Lies. What was the inspiration for this music?
Well, you know, I mean, we live in a culture where, you know, there is information, misinformation, truth, fudged truth. And you know, it's kind of become acceptable. And I mean, so that's on the larger scale of what the song's about. But on the basic scale, it's kind of like a story of two renegades who, you know, choose to live life on the edge and, you know, do things kind of the wrong way and think they're going to get away with it forever. And then ultimately, in the end, it catches up with them. So that's that particular song. You know, then there's Under the Gun, which makes a little bit of a comment on gun control. And then there's, what else is on this record? Let's see. Let me pull it out here.
Well, let me play a little bit. If we can listen to a little bit of what I believe is going to be the next single. This is Better Than This. Let's listen to a little bit.
Okay.
Doesn't that just take all of us back to being 17? Yeah, your daddy's car and a stolen kiss. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, but this is a song basically about the appreciation of life in whatever phase of life you're in. You know, the second verse goes to, you know, a bit of an older guy, and the third verse takes you to where I am, takes me to where I am now, you know, and you know, basically the sentiment is whatever phase of life that you're in, appreciate what it is, because there's good to be found in it. There's struggles to be found in it. But through it all, you know, it's all a beautiful thing.
Yeah. So, and whether you're 17 or 40 or 60 or 75, it's still that same person in many ways.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So there you go. Yeah. There's a couple of songs on this record that kind of deal with, you know, my age. You know, actually, I'm going next week to shoot a new video. It's for the song called How'd You Get Here? You know, and you know, that kind of also relates to, you know, being of a certain age and you know, seeing it all like, wow, here I am, you know, and navigating. There's a struggle with every age, you know, and there's a challenge with every age. And certainly when you get to be my age, which is 76, you know, you are dealing with, you know, your mortality and your immortality and all of that. And within that, there are certain fears and struggles that you have to deal with. But just like, you know, in Better Than This, you know, there is beauty to be found there, and you have to, you know, find that beauty and not let the fear of whatever override the joy of the moment, you know, and steal that from you. So yeah.
Well, so many terrific songs. And when you talk about powerful songs, Navigating the Unforeseen, that was a gut punch. That is such a raw song.
Yeah. That, you know, again, is dealing with on the fringe of these same issues, you know, and that, you know, it's kind of almost like a spoken word kind of piece, in that, you know, it's actually a recording of me just reading the poem into my iPhone and tapping along on my thighs, you know, as I speak it and sing it down, you know. So navigating the unforeseen, for sure. Yeah.
And boy, a different type of song, but such a fun one. Let's listen to a little bit of this terrific duet with the great Valerie Simpson.
Yeah.
That was said in the heat of the battle, in the heat of a battle, of a war nobody won. Who'll be the first to say I'm sorry for what I did that hurt and made you mad? And how much more time
man, I love that. Two pros still at the top of your game. That is so good.
Yeah, thank you. You know, it was a great thrill, you know, to have Valerie sing with me. And you know, she's one, you know, I consider her one of the greatest songwriters of our generation, you know. So to have her to agree to sing with me on one of my songs is such a great honor. You know, she's just the sweetest thing and so super talented. You know, it's a very stripped down song. It's basically me on acoustic guitar, Valerie on piano, and then a bass and a drum, you know, and our two voices, you know. But it's a very simple song, but it's it's a relationship song. You know, we've all been in these situations where you're in this relationship, everything is going along swimmingly, and then, you know, from out of nowhere, there is a major fight. Somebody says something else. And then next thing you know, one person goes to one side of the room or the other side of the house. And then it's about who's going to be, you know, the first one to forgive, to say, I'm sorry, to break that spell of this, you know, battle that happens out of nowhere, you know. But it's, you know, common to every relationship. So that's the story of that song.
We're talking with Bruce Sedano. The new album is Talking Ugly Truth, Telling Pretty Lies. I want to go back a little bit, too, for anybody who doesn't know. You've got a remarkable musical story that goes all the way back to when you were just a young man, late teens, early 20s, a success with the song Ball of Fire when you got together with a guy who became a mentor to you, a friend of our show, the great Tommy James.
Yeah, Tommy was instrumental in my career. You know, he was the first person to take me into a recording studio to show me how a record was made, to allow me to sing on some backing vocals you know, I was in a band called Alive and Kickin' in those days, and we were the house band at a club called Cheetah in Manhattan, which was on 52nd Street, right off 8th Avenue. And somehow Tommy came to the club, saw the band, and, you know, I immediately, as an aspiring songwriter, you know, he lived right around the corner from the club. So on breaks, I would go to his apartment and sit with him and try to write songs with him. You know, I was a novice songwriter at that time. And you know, my dream was to be a songwriter. So, and Tommy was at the top of his career then. So for him to open the doors to me was, you know, just so generous. And, you know, and I always make the joke, you know, with Ball of Fire, you know, they say, oh, you know, like Ball of Fire, like, you know, how great, you know, that you got to co-write that. And I always say, well, you know, my contribution to that song was the word of, you know. So my manager says, why do you always tell that story? That's, you know, I'm like, well, you know, it's not exactly true, but, you know, it's really Tommy's grace that, you know, allowed me, you know, to be a part of that song and to, you know, and it was such a great thing. And then he went on to produce my band Alive and Kicking, and we had a big hit the next year, Tighter and Tighter. And you know, so, you know, a great mentor, a great guy, a great talent, Tommy. You know, I think he's very underrated. I think he should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Absolutely.
You know, all these, you know, and anyway, so yeah.
You went on to form Brooklyn Dreams, ended up signing with Millennium Records, getting distributed by Casablanca. Had a terrific success there, but perhaps the biggest success you had was in meeting a talented young woman who would become your wife, your partner for so many years, the great Donna Summer.
Yep. Got signed by Jimmy Einer, who's another mentor of mine at Millennium. Jimmy was a great producer, you know, produced the Raspberries, Eric Carmen, you know, lots of people. But got there, formed Brooklyn Dreams with Joby and Esposito and Eddie Hokanson in L.A. Donna was recently returning from living 8 years in Germany, came to L.A., had a big hit record called Love to Love You, Baby. We all became instant friends and got to, you know, co-wrote four songs on the Bad Girls album. You know, ended up falling in love, you know, and being married for 32 years until she passed away in 2012, you know. So raised three girls. I have 9 grandchildren. So, yeah.
Also had some work and a role in one of my all-time favorite movies. Anytime I talk with somebody associated with it, I have to ask. And I've talked with Lorraine Newman about it and one of your good friends, Kenny Vance. I loved American Hot Wax.
Yeah, it was such a great experience, you know. Made so many, you know, lifelong friends. You know, I think American Hot Wax was probably 1978, and Kenny and Joe Bean and Eddie in the Brooklyn Dreams with myself formed the Planetones for that movie. We were 3 months on the set of that movie. And, you know, people like Brenda Russell, who has been, you know, a close friend since then. You know, Brenda is an amazing songwriter and another amazing talent, and Jay Leno. So it was just a great experience. Ira Newborn, who was the musical director of the band and what a band it was, and just a you know, great talents and a great hang for a long time. You know, great to be a part of it, you know?
I remember Lorraine Newman telling me that she was especially impressed with the fact that once he got out of that coffin, Screamin' Jay Hawkins was a really great guy.
Absolutely. You know, the interesting ones were, you know, as advertised, Chuck Berry and Jerry Lee Lewis. Mm. But not that they were, you know, bad or, but, you know, they were, let's just say they were set apart. But everybody else that was in that movie, it was a really nice community. And a lot of mutual admiration. And for a kid from Brooklyn who at 9 years old, his first show was, you know, going to the Brooklyn Fox to see one of these rock and roll shows, to be able to, all those years later, take part in a movie replicating it was certainly a thrill.
I have to talk about a wonderful song. Back in my country radio days, I used to love playing it, loved it out of the box when it first came out, a song that you and Donna co-wrote that became a smash for Dolly Parton, Starting Over Again, which I learned was a pretty personal song for you.
Yeah, it was a song. Here I was, 27, 28 years old, and my parents decide to get divorced. So I was writing the song. Don and I were living together in a house in Hancock Park, and I had this little back bedroom with a Fender Rhodes, and there I am back in there, you know, writing this song. And you know, Donna opens the door, sticks her head in the room, and says, "You need to put a line like 'All the King's horses and all the King's men' in this song." So I'm like, okay. So, you know, I put the line in the song, and as fate would have it, you know, as with everything with Donna, that's the line of the song that everybody remembers, yeah. You know, and the other part of the story is, you know, Donna comes to me and she says, you know, I'm singing on the Johnny Carson show tomorrow night. I'm going to sing Starting Over Again. And I'm like, you can't do that. You're going on there to promote your new single, which I think at the moment was maybe MacArthur Park or something like that. She says, no, I'm going to sing Starting Over Again. I'm like, but why would you do that? She says, well, maybe if I sing it, your parents will stay together.
Oh, oh,
and
man.
I'm like, that's the sweetest thing in the world, but that's not going to happen. And she says, well, I'm going to try. So sure enough, she goes on the Johnny Carson show. She sings the song. You know, the next day, Dolly Parton's people call up. What is that song? Who can we have that song? You know, it goes on to be a number one country song. My parents never stayed together, but, you know, rock and roll history.
Absolutely. I have to ask you about the wonderful documentary that came out a year or so ago, Love to Love You, Donna Summer. You had to be proud of not only the film, but especially the role your daughter Brooklyn played in directing it.
Yep. My daughter Brooklyn, Brooklyn Sudano, co-directed it with Roger Ross Williams, who is an Academy Award-winning, you know, documentary director, and together they made a very beautiful, honest, emotional film about Donna, which, I'm very proud of it and proud of Brooklyn and Brooklyn's had a 20-year career now as an actress, you know, originally on My Wife and Kids and you know, some CSIs and, you know, all these kind of shows for all these years. And so a number of years ago, we did the musical, the Donna Summer musical,
right,
which was on Broadway. And I had a real struggle in that situation with not having the kind of control that I needed. And as good as the musical was, I was kind of left with this feeling that it could have been more. So when it came to the documentary, especially when it comes to a documentary, and a documentary is something that, you know, is, you know, it's supposed to be factual. With a movie or with a musical, you can have a little more leeway to swing the facts around. But when it came to the documentary, I wanted it to be honest and real. And so, Brooklyn came to me. She said, Dad, you know, I want to direct it. And I was like, go for it, you know. And then Roger came on board and, you know, graciously agreed to co-direct it with her, and they did a great job.
Bruce Sedano's new album, Talking Ugly Truth, Telling Pretty Lies. Bruce, been a fan of your work for such a long time. Great to have a chance to talk with you today. Thanks so much for being with us. We wish you much good health and continued success.
Thank you, Rich. Pleasure to talk to you. And if you get to speak to Tommy anytime soon, tell him I said hey. And I appreciate your time.